So today we are studying, actually it was read yesterday but it's on the board, so we will again read text number 10, 11, 16, 10. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Aham Gatir Gati Matam Kalakala Yatamaham Gunanam Chapyaham Samyam Gunin Yau Patiko Gunaham Aham I am Gati, the ultimate goal. Gati Matam of those who seek progress. Kalaha, time. Kalayatam, of those who exert control. Aham, I am. Kunanam, of the modes of material nature. Cha, also. Api, even. Aham, I am. Samyam, material equilibrium. Gunani, in the pious. Alpautika, natural. Gunaha, virtue. Translation by the followers of Srila Prabhupada. I am the ultimate goal of all those seeking progress. And I am time among those who exert control. I am the equilibrium of the modes of material nature, and I am natural virtue among the pious. Everybody's seeking progress, isn't it? Everybody wants to progress. So Krishna is the ultimate goal of all those seeking progress. Do they know it? No, they don't know that. People think if they can make progress, they will be more happy. But their conception of progress is wrong. They think more money, more power, more prestige, more facility for sense enjoyment. That's what they consider to be progress. But the fact is, no matter how much they may progress in the acquirement of facilities for sense enjoyment, they will find that they are becoming more and more frustrated. When they can actually understand that they are not their bodies, fully realize that they are not their bodies, and understand that their only true happiness comes by satisfying the Lord of the senses, Rishikesh. Only then can they be happy. Until then, Shama eva hi kevalam. All their endeavors for happiness are simply a useless waste of time. Simply waste. Adato Brahma Jigyasa. You have a human form, Vedanta Sutra states, now you must utilize it. You understand? You must utilize it to inquire what is the absolute truth. Otherwise it is simply waste. And if one is fortunate, Brahmanda Brahmite Konna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach, if one is fortunate, that person who is seeking progress, if he is very fortunate, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, he will understand what is actual progress. Everyone is seeking happiness, that is common factor. Common denominator. Everyone is seeking happiness. But due to a poor fund of knowledge, as Prabhupada always said, poor fund of knowledge, ass-like mentality, they are looking in the wrong place for that happiness. They are trying to find it in the combination, the relationship of the senses with the objects of the senses. But you're not those senses. You're not those senses. So how you'll be satisfied in that way? You see? Am I this chatter? No. I can toss it off. I have nothing to do with it, you see. Or I can wear it either way. If you give me a nice bowl of Mahaprasad strawberry, organic strawberry ice cream, and I simply dip my chatter in it, how can I enjoy it? Is it possible? By dipping my chatter in the strawberry ice cream, I will enjoy that strawberry ice cream? No. I cannot enjoy via the chatter. The actual enjoyment is here. Put it in the mouth. Then you will enjoy, you see. Give it to the actual body, not the covering. So, in this material life, instead of giving the enjoyment to the actual self, we are giving it to the covering of the self. The garment of the self, the material body, the subtle body, the mind, intelligence, and false ego, we're trying to give the satisfaction there. And this is futile. It is useless. It is stupid. It doesn't work. Don't feed your ice cream to the chatter. Put it in your mouth. That is Krishna consciousness philosophy. You see? Take care of the actual self. Not the so-called self. The mind, the body. You see? Do that which nourishes the actual self. That is Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna says, I am time among those who exert control. So what does that mean? That means time exerts control. Time is the ultimate exerter of control within this material existence. I don't care how powerful you may be. You may even be Brahmaji, the most powerful person in this world, but time will exert its influence even upon Brahmaji. After how many years? 311 trillion years, Brahmaji has to leave his body. He may enjoy his position as Brahmaji, but after those 311 trillion years, which he experiences, by the way, is 100 years, time is relative. And he has to also get out. Time says, get out. And see, that is Krishna. Kalosmi lokacheya krit. Time I am the destroyer of everything. See. So it doesn't matter how powerful you may be, how famous, how rich, or whatever you may have, how much you may eat healthy food and take supplements, so many things we may do to prolong the life, but when the time comes that it is finished, then that's it. So that time factor, that is Krishna. And then Krishna says, I am the equilibrium of the modes of material nature. Well, I thought we were supposed to get out of the modes. What is this equilibrium of the modes? Well, when one actually becomes transcendently situated, the modes of he utilizes the modes of nature in an equilibrium, if I can use that word, an equilibriumous way. A devotee utilizes the modes in Krishna's service. You see. Tamagun, well, you need some sleep. You have to be active. And you have to be philosophical, intelligent, meditative, you see. So these three factors are all utilized by the devotee in Krishna's service in a very balanced, equilibriumous way. Vidyam cha vidyam yashtad vedo bhyam saha avidyayam ritam chirtvat vidyayam ritam ashnute. You see. Only one who can cultivate both nescience and transcendence is able to enjoy the full blessings of immortality. So even the negative, or you could say the material side, is used by the devotee. This material body, you see, material energy. We don't artificially walk away from the material energy and say, I have nothing to do with the material energy. No, that's artificial. You cannot do it. The devotee, he utilizes the material energy in the service of the Lord of all energies, Krishna. In that way, there is equilibrium. You see. The modes of nature are all engaged by the devotee in the service of Krishna. So that brings the equilibrium. And the final phrase of our beloved Lord here in today's verse, he says, I am the natural virtue among the pious. This word natural is very significant here. He's not saying I'm virtue among the pious. He says, I am natural virtue among the pious. So what does that mean? That means virtue is natural. In other words, the ultimate virtue of being Krishna conscious, that is a natural thing. As Prabhupada is always saying like that, that Krishna consciousness is the original natural energy of the living being. So our Krishna consciousness movement is not trying to impose something unnatural on the human society. As I have sometimes explained before, one time we were flying from Fiji to Los Angeles, and we were standing there in the long queue, the check-in queue, big, huge, long check-in queue. And one gentleman saw that I was dressed in religious garb, and he thought he would have a little fun. He was some atheistically minded man. And he came up and said, What do you believe in? What is your philosophy? He wanted to smash me. Ha ha ha. He had that mood, you see. So I could immediately sense where he was coming from. And I said, our philosophy, my dear sir, is a very simple thing. Know who you are and be who you are. That's it. He couldn't say anything. Because actually that's all we're really doing, you see. We're not imposing something on anybody. We simply want people to know who they really are. You see? Every jivara sarupa hai krishnara nitya das, the constitutional position of every single living entity is that he is the eternal servant of Krishna. Everyone's a devotee of Krishna. Simply they have forgotten. So our program is simply to remind them who they are. We're not trying to impose anything on anybody. We're just trying to help them get free from all those things which have been imposed upon them by the material society, which are causing them unlimited anxieties. There's an interesting example in this connection. One time in Dallas, Texas, one man, well-to-do man in a, upper-scale neighborhood, he went out on a little walk in the neighborhood, as people commonly do. They can get a little exercise, get out, stretch the legs, get some fresh air, you know, go for a walk. But something strange happened to this man on his walk. You see, some little chemical, some weird chemical reaction that happened in his brain, and he went into a state of amnesia. He forgot who he was. He didn't happen to have an ID on him. He couldn't remember where he lived. He couldn't remember his name. He just totally lost touch with who he was. And he wandered for weeks in the streets of Dallas. He made up some name for himself just to get along. But he was wandering, wandering, wandering with no idea who he was, who his family was, where he lived, etc. Until one day one of his buddies drove by. "George, George, we've been looking for you. What's going on? Get in the car. I'll drive you home." You see. So our position is some strange little thing happened. We had this quirk of thinking, why can't I be the Supreme? Some little quirk, weird quirk happened to us, and here we are, wandering around this material world, the Brahmanda, trying to find some enjoyment here, understanding we are meant to enjoy, but and trying to get it in this way and that way, 8,400,000 different types of ways of trying to enjoy, trying, failing, you see. Until finally we're fortunate when somebody who actually knows who we are, "George, where have you been?" You see, the devotee, "Oh, my dear sir, you are a devotee of Krishna. You have forgotten. Now I have come to bring you back," you see, "to your actual identity." You see, this is the kindness of the devotee. This is the kindness of the spiritual master. That, "My dear sir, why are you suffering here in this ignorant condition of misidentifying yourself with matter when actually you're the eternal servant of Krishna? You're full of bliss, you're full of knowledge. It's not necessary for you to be going through this difficulty. It's absolutely unnecessary. You're living as a pauper on the street, but you're the son of a multi-billionaire." So our philosophy is simply that. Know who you are, my dear sir, and now we'll show you how to actually be who you are. We'll teach you how to be who you are. See, someone who's suffering from amnesia, they have techniques for reviving their memory. They bring him back into the association of those things which are connected with his true identity. His wife, his kids, his house, his dog, his guitar, or whatever he's into, you see. They reassociate him, his high school picture album, you know, everything they can, that is connected with his, you know, so-called actual identity. They bring him back into contact with those things so that things can start to click in his brain and he can go, oh yeah, now I remember. So in the same way in Krishna consciousness, the spiritual master, he brings us back into contact with those things which reinforce our actual identity. You see, the deity, the holy names, the place of Krishna's pastimes, the teachings, all of these things are integrally related with our actual identity. So, by being reassociated with these things, then it starts to come back. Yes. It starts to come back. Yeah, I'm not this body. I am Krishna's eternal servant. Wow, this is fantastic. Here I was struggling, trying to be happy by being a lord of this material world, and I wasn't getting anywhere, but now I can truly be happy by reviving my Krishna consciousness. So, this is a very nice point. This is the natural virtue, you know, among the pious, you see. Krishna is actually related in so many ways with everything that we see here, you see. Everything that exists, it is the opulence of Krishna. It's not separate from Krishna. Everything is connected with Krishna. We were hearing yesterday, Maharaj was reading to us in the purport, how the Sridhar Swami was pointing out that the personality of Godhead maintains an ablative and genitive relationship with his opulences. These terms, ablative and genitive, are actually from Sanskrit grammar. When nouns are declined, they are declined in different ways with different endings to give different meanings. There is the declension of the nominative declension, Krishnaha, when Krishna is the subject of the sentence. That's called nominative declension. Then there is the accusative declension, that is Krishnam. That's when Krishna is the object of the sentence. Then there's the instrumental declension, Krishnena, by Krishna or with Krishna. Then there's the dative declension, to or for Krishna, Krishnaya, just like we say Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, to Vasudeva, you see. So Krishnaya means to Krishna. And then the ablative declension, from Krishna, Krishnat. That this world is coming from Krishna, you see. Krishna, from Krishna. And then the genitive declension, that means of Krishna, Krishnasya. It is Krishna's property, you see. Krishnasya. It is of Krishna. The locative, or locative declension, that is in, at, or on, and that is Krishna. It is like Krishna Svadamo Pagate in the Bhagavatam. And the final declension is the vocative, just like we call out, Hare Krishna. Krishna, you see. That is called the vocative declension. So here, when Sridhar Swami was talking about the ablative and genitive relationship with his opulences, that means that Krishna, that ablative relationship means that those opulences are coming from him. Just like Krishna says, Aham Sravasya Prabhava Mataksaram Pravartate. I am the source of all material and spiritual worlds. Everything comes from me. So that's the ablative relationship from Krishna. And since it is from Krishna, it's all coming from him. Well, it's also of him. It belongs to him because it's coming from him. You see? That's the genitive relationship. So, when we awaken our Krishna consciousness, we can see the ablative relationship of Krishna with his opulences, the genitive relationship of Krishna with his opulences. And we can, therefore, understand that we are also from Krishna, and that we are also the property of Krishna. And therefore, we are meant to serve Krishna. And by doing so, we will achieve the most sublime happiness. That is called Krishna consciousness. The most sublime happiness. So now I can ask if there's any questions. All questions are answered. Yes, Prabhu.
It seems to me that materialists, they just want to impose no stricture upon people. And this philosophy is about stricture or attaining the supreme. So it's like it's the opposite of what they're trying to. They're trying to move society like that.
Yeah, I'm pretty deaf, so I'm trying to discern here. Can you help me with what he said? Okay. So you're saying the society is moving the opposite direction. So in terms of their conception of progress,
and
always the opposite of Krishna consciousness.
Yeah.
Okay, so what is the question then? How to preach.
Yeah.
It's actually not difficult to preach because ultimately the desire is to be happy. Anandamayo vyasa, the constitutional position of every living entity is to be happy, to enjoy. So even though they're going about it in a completely opposite way, the ultimate desire they have is just to be happy, really. So if we can present Krishna consciousness to them, that this is actually, to show them this is actually how to achieve what you're looking for, that is the way to do it. You want to be happy? That's great. I'll be happy to help you become happy. If you would like, my dear sir, I can show you how you can increase your happiness. My dear sir, are you happy all the time? Well, no. I try to be, but I'm not really happy all the time. Well, my dear sir, if I could show you a way that you could be happy all the time, and that happiness would just go on increasing, increasing, increasing forever, would you be interested to hear about that? Well, I guess so. Tell me, you see? If we have the conviction ourselves that Krishna consciousness is the solution for all problems, of all anxieties, if we have the conviction, if we have the experience ourselves of how happy Krishna consciousness can make one to be 24 hours a day, then it's easy to inspire someone else. Sometimes we have a difficulty convincing others because of our own doubts. As Prabhupada pointed out to us in Los Angeles, Krishna lived at Govardhan Hill, and you were thinking, maybe. So we have to be really honest about the doubts that we ourselves are having about the process of Krishna consciousness. And we have to see what we can do to free ourselves from those doubts which are polluting our minds, our consciousnesses. So the more that we can become doubt-free, the more that we can be convinced ourselves, to whatever degree we have that conviction that this is the absolute truth beyond all doubts, then to that degree we will have the shakti, the potency, the energy to inspire them in the same way. So the most important thing, as Prabhupada said, is to save the world. But even more important is to save yourself. Because if you're not saved, how you can save the world? It's just a dream. But to whatever extent you've saved yourself, to that extent you can rescue the conditioned souls of this planet. You see? So if we simply try to go deeper, deeper into absorption in the holy name, deeper and deeper into the Sankirtan of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, deeper and deeper into these wonderful teachings of His Divine Grace, Om Vishnu Pad Paramahamsa, Pariva Jakacharja Asta Tarjadashi Srimad, Esi Bhaktivedantati Dandiko Swami Maharaj Prabhupada. If we go deeper and deeper into absorption in these wonderful things, you see, then we can attract everybody. As Prabhupada said to me one time in letter, he said that if you simply describe these books in the best descriptive manner, then you can convince anyone to purchase, even an atheist. So, note Prabhupada's phrase, best descriptive manner. So the more you realize Krishna, you see, one of the qualities is called poet. Everyone has that within them, the poetic nature to describe Krishna in wonderful, wonderful ways. And that becomes awakened to the degree of our purity. So if we will strive to develop the purity in our Krishna consciousness, the more we become purified, the more we can describe Krishna in the most wonderful way, it will amaze anybody, even an atheist, Prabhupada said. So we simply have to try to purify our hearts more and more by going deeper into Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And then we can revolutionize this planet. The Acharyas will bless us. We'll become fully instrumental in their hands for bringing a revolution on this planet. Convincing everyone. Actually, it's predicted. It's going to happen. none other than Krishna Das Kaviraj. He is predicting the whole world will take to it. Such jana dur jana pangu jagda anagana prema vanvaya budu baila jagatera jana. This Krishna consciousness movement, it is a prema tsunami, tidal wave of prema. And it will inundate the entire universe, drowning everyone, whether they are pious, sajjana, durjana, impious, lame, indolent, or blind, everybody will be drowned in this prema tsunami, prema vanyaya. So it's going to happen. Within this 10,000 year period, this planet will be completely inundated with Krishna consciousness. The high court judges will all be wearing tilak. The prime ministers, the MPs, everybody be wearing tilak. Everybody be going, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Every day during the lunch break, everybody would come out on the street and have huge Harinams and Kirtan at lunch every day, you see. Every day, in every city. At lunchtime, huge Harinam. And then go back to work after the Harinam festival, you see. It will happen. That day will come, you see. So, if you want to speed up that day, then go deeper and deeper. Be very vigilant to avoid the ten offenses, you see. Take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and serve him with love. Whatever instruction he gives you, take that instruction as your very life and soul, you see. And this way your heart will become very, very pure, and you'll be able to convince anybody, even Osama bin Laden. Any other questions? Yeah.
How mature I try to think that I'm not the body, I'm the soul, still doesn't sink into the mind. How do you really feel that we are not the body, I'm the soul?
So we have jnana, which is the theoretical knowledge that I'm not the body, but we are lacking in vijnana, the practical realization that I'm not this body. You see, I know that I'm not the body, but then when I stub my toe, I go, oh. I immediately identify with the body. So how do we make it practical? Especially it's important at the time of death, that we have to really be convinced and realize that I'm not the body. Otherwise death will be a horrible traumatic experience. Oh my goodness, I'm dying, you see. So how do we realize that I'm not the body? Fully realize, you see. That is by engaging everything in Krishna's service 24 hours a day. It's the only way you can do it. You can't just do it by theoretical. How do you taste the honey inside the jar? Do you lick the outside of the bottle? Will that give you the honey? No. You have to unscrew the lid and stick your tongue down in that jar, you see, and then you'll get the taste of the honey. So, how do we get that actual experience? Brahman, Brahma-bhuta prasanatmana sochati nakankshati. How do we get to that point? We have to take the process given, coming down from the Goswamis of Vrindavan, take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, follow the rules and regulations very carefully, 24 hours a day, engage everything in Krishna's service. You see? In this way, that realization will come. It doesn't come overnight. It doesn't come in a second. It's a gradual thing, like the sun rising in the early, in a beautiful spring morning. It comes slowly, 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 gradually. But you have to stay in the process. Chant 16 rounds regularly. Follow the principles. Cooperate very nicely in the family of the ISKCON devotees. In this way, you see. If you will day by day by day follow this process, then gradually, 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 your theoretical understanding that you're not your body will become a fully realized transcendental state of consciousness. You will see the body simply as an instrument you can use for Krishna, and you will not identify with it. You won't think you're a woman. You won't think you're an Indian. You'll understand that you're an eternal spirit soul, and you're using this body in Krishna's service. That's all.
Does this happen within one lifetime, or does it take many lifetimes?
Well, how soon would you like to get out of the cycle of birth and death? Would you like to wait a few lifetimes? Would you like to do it in one? What's your choice? Like to get out now? All right, then take it up full on, with full seriousness. Krishna doesn't say, you have to do this. He told Arjuna, now I've told you these things, you do what you like. But why take a chance? I mean, look what happened to Bharat Maharaj, you see. He came very close to perfection, but that affection for the deer obliged him to come back as a deer. So why take a chance? Why not strive for pure bhakti, you see? We encourage everyone to strive for pure devotional service, because even if you don't get it, well, if you didn't strive for it, you wouldn't make as much of advancement as if you had strived for pure devotional service. So every single devotee should strive for pure devotional service. That's what Prabhupada wants. Prabhupada ordered me to become a pure devotee. He said, now you just qualify yourself to see Krishna face to face. That was his direct order to me. So Prabhupada wants us all to become pure devotees. You're qualified to see Krishna face to face. Premanjana charita bhakti valochanena santaksa daivahridayesha valokayanti yang shama shundaram chintya gunasvarupam govindam adipurusham tamaham vajami. So you should strive for pure bhakti to get out of, in this lifetime. That will give you the best opportunity to make it in this lifetime if you endeavor for it. Any other questions? Yes?
We have to utilize the material body and all the material objects as the service of Lord. But we also know that all the material objects are manifestation of false ego. So how they can be offered to in the service of Lord, and how they go to your bhakti?
Did you pick it up?
Or what do you consider?
How you can engage your false ego in the service of Krishna?
No.
How
to get rid of it.
How to get rid of the false ego. It's very simple. You see, ego means identity. Now the Mayavadi, they say you must kill ego. You must merge into Brahman. But actually that ego can never be killed. Jivaras, you're an eternal living entity. So instead of trying to kill your ego, your sense of identity, you have to kill the false ego, the false sense of identity that I'm this body, by awakening your true ego that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. That's why when we initiate students, we give them a new name. You see? Because that reinforces their understanding that I'm not this body, that I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Prabhupada gave me the name Sankarshan Das. You see? To reinforce in my own heart, my own mind, that I'm not the body. I'm the eternal servant of Krishna. Sankarshan, that is actually Balaram or Vishnu. So I'm the eternal servant of Balaram or Vishnu. So if you will revive your by the mercy of Guru, Vaishnavas and the scriptures, if you revive your consciousness that you're the eternal servant of Krishna, then automatically the false ego will take a hike. It'll leave. It'll gradually just evaporate. If you put a glass of water in a room, you come back a week later, the glass is empty. Did somebody pour it out? No, it evaporated. So, if you will every day reinforce your spiritual identity by chanting Hare Krishna mantra, by following devotional principles, then gradually that false ego, which has been entangling you in the cycle of birth and death for millions and millions of lifetimes, that false ego will gradually evaporate and it won't be there anymore. You'll be totally free from it. That false ego is forcing you to consider that you're temporary, is putting you in a state of ignorance and putting you in a state of misery. But if you will revive your true ego, the eternal servant of Krishna, then you will realize you're eternal, you'll feel how you're full of bliss, and you will have full knowledge. You'll understand, you'll know everything. You'll understand about everything. Everything will become illuminated for you. Tesham adityam vajganam. No, not, let's see. Gyanena tu tada gyanam yesham nashitam atmanaha. When one is enlightened with that knowledge by which in essence is destroyed, then his knowledge reveals everything as the sun lights up everything in the daytime. So you'll have full knowledge, you see, if you become awakened in your spiritual identity, you'll have full knowledge of everything. You won't be an illusion or you won't be suffering in ignorance. Any other questions? Everyone's satisfied now, ready to fully absorb themselves in pure Krishna bhakti, kicking out those things which are the cause of anxiety in one's life? Or do you want to hold on to those causes of anxiety? Now, this is your teddy bear, you know. I can't give up my little teddy bear. Everybody's ready to throw off all the anxieties and embrace pure Krishna bhakti, huh? Everyone's ready? No answer. Come on. Alright, we'll stop here. Shantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.